A new report estimates 340 young adults and children have been victims of sex trafficking in Milwaukee in a four-year period. That study period is from the beginning of 2013 to the end of 2016. The report is expanding on a study 5 years ago that found at least 77 children had been sexually exploited in Milwaukee in a two-year period, which experts say is grossly underestimated. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dana World Patterson is director of the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee and CEO of Foundations for Freedom. That's a Milwaukee-based anti-human trafficking organization. Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's my pleasure.
Well, let's start out with getting a solid foundation, a solid definition of human trafficking and sex trafficking, and help us understand what it is exactly.
Human trafficking can be divided into the labor side as well as sex. So when you consider human sex trafficking, you must have force, fraud, or coercion. When you consider an adult that is exchanging sex for commercial sex for money. That's the easiest way I can say it. You must have force, fraud, or coercion for the exchange of sex for money for an adult. If it's a child, you do not have to prove force, fraud, or coercion because it's illegal for children to have sex. So it's automatically human sex trafficking.
Are there some common misperceptions out there that people have about sex trafficking?
Yes. One of the main misperceptions is prostitution is sex trafficking. That's true because of the exchange of sex for money, but you must have force, fraud, or coercion. That's one of the main misperceptions, because there are some people that would say it's my body and I can do what I want to do with my body. For an adult, you have that right. However, the thin line is there still may be force, fraud, or coercion. And then you enter my world or our world of human sex trafficking, the eradication of human sex trafficking. Yes.
Walk us through a scenario about how a young person, a youth, could fall into sex trafficking. Describe a scenario for us.
Well, it's happening more often than we think. And usually, in the 10 years that I've been involved with helping to eradicate human sex trafficking, one of the main threads has been vulnerability. So when a person is vulnerable, they're more likely to become a victim of sex trafficking. And 13 is the average age that girls are trafficked. So in America. So when you think about a 13-year-old that's vulnerable, it could be that someone is watching her to groom her for this life. One pimp said, well, pimp trafficker said that individuals who have been molested are perfect targets to become trafficked or to become a part of their industry, a part of their stable, so that they can work for them for money. So that's one scenario. Also, you can consider those who are needing love by their father or missing love or that attention. We've heard many, many different scenarios, but these individuals groom and they watch very carefully. The snatch and grabs happen, but not as often as a person that may be groomed and watched and brought into the life very methodically. It should also be understood that human trafficking is happening, according to former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, in all 72 counties. When we first started, again, 10 years ago, the scenario was this is happening predominantly to inner city Black girls with no father who are poor. And as we continue to think about it, Martha Love and I, who shared this with me, it was $32 billion at that time worldwide. And we're thinking $32 billion is a lot of money to consider that will come from an inner city Black girl, no father, probably drinking flour and water. It has to be broader than that. So we began to beat the drum saying, not in our neighborhood, not in yours. And when we met J.B. Van Hollen, who said that human trafficking is happening in all 72 counties, it immediately opened up that scenario to have us thinking that this is not just an inner city problem. It's happening all around. And so that gave us even more of a solid foundation that we need to be looking in our own backyards.
Dana World Patterson is with us. She's director of the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee. She's CEO of Foundations for Freedom, having a conversation about sex trafficking this hour on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You can join in the conversation. Are you an anti-human trafficking advocate? Do you work in law enforcement, in a hospital, in a group home? What is your experience working with victims of sex trafficking? Are you a survivor? What is your story? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Dana, what is going on in Milwaukee? We have seen the headlines that Milwaukee is a hotbed, a hub for sex trafficking.
I'm proud to say that through awareness, many things are beginning to happen in Milwaukee and around the state. The conversation, the real talk about what human trafficking is, and that when we look at the numbers, there's a name and there's a person attached to it, has been phenomenal. When we first started, there was very little evidence to prove that this was happening, and mouths were dropping open, and individuals were saying, in Milwaukee? In Milwaukee? Are you kidding? In Milwaukee? And we still, 10 years later, we still hear that this is happening in Milwaukee? Absolutely. But the broader picture is that this is happening all over. So the Human Trafficking Task Force, we are the community response to eradicating human sex trafficking. And that's through coordinated services, education and awareness, and policy and legislation. And as a result of about 40 individuals coming together monthly, we've had the opportunity to rub elbows and learn and then go to our prospective areas. So we have individuals from the university, from the hospitals, law enforcement, survivor leaders, the grannies, the aunties. We have advocates, direct service individuals that come on a monthly basis that are learning and growing and then going to do something about it. So that's what we do every day. We're learning and growing so that we can do something about the efforts and really bringing the individuals that are trafficked from a place of victim to surviving to thriving.
Dana, you're saying this is happening in all 72 counties here in Wisconsin. Is there a difference in what you're seeing in rural parts of Wisconsin versus the inner cities?
There's definitely a different approach, but the game is the same. They're lured in, they're groomed, they're lured in, and then they're made to have sex for money. Now, my understanding is those that are in more rural areas are more likely, and even affluent areas are easier targets than in the inner city. But I'm not so sure about that. I've heard that. But the common thread is vulnerability. So if you live in a rural area, it's vulnerability. If you live in an affluent area, it's vulnerability, as well as the inner city.
Dana World Patterson stays with us for this conversation on human trafficking. She works on victim advocacy, education, and prevention efforts through her organization, Foundations for Freedom. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Do you work in law enforcement, at a hospital, or a group home? What is your experience working with victims of sex trafficking? Do you live in Milwaukee? What is your perception of this problem in the city? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment after a news update here on the Ideas Network. Between January 1st, 2013 and December 31st, 2016, 340 individuals ages 25 and under were confirmed or believed to be victims of sex trafficking in Milwaukee. All were either U.S. citizens or those with legal status. Nearly all, 97%, were female. Over half were juveniles. We're having a conversation about what can be done about sex trafficking at the community level, from a policy standpoint, from the vantage point of groups that work with victims to end the sex trade. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dana World Patterson stays with us. She heads up the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee and Foundations for Freedom. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you live in Milwaukee? What is your perception of this problem in the city? In a rural area, what are you seeing? What organizations do you think are doing good work to curb sex trafficking in Wisconsin? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Gary now, joining us from Merrill. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. I think we are finding out what globalism and multiculturalism and diversity are all about. These changes are here, and I think these little communities like Wausau have been blindsided. We have had human trafficking for workers on these farms and whatever for decades, and now we're seeing the diversity and the trafficking for sex, and the police departments and the social services just can't keep up with it. I think it's going to increase, and we've lost our culture. We're losing our culture, and we're going into third worldism.
Gary, thanks for the call. Let's get Dana to respond here that police and social services in smaller communities are not prepared for this.
I would agree, and that has, over the 10 years, it has been an evolving phenomenon, which has really proven to be wonderful. There are some communities and counties that said that no way, this is not happening in our area. But as time went on and they began to open their eyes, they were beginning to see that, yes, indeed, this is happening in there within their zip code in their county. So awareness has been paramount in bringing law enforcement up so that they know what to look for. It's just a matter of time before human trafficking will lose, but absolutely no one should feel as if this cannot happen in their neighborhood because of their zip code or because what seemed to have been safe. That's where traffickers go. So we have to be mindful that it's the vulnerability. And if you're saying that this is not happening, it's more than likely happening in your neighborhood.
Let's look at the technology aspect of this, the internet, and how its role in sex trafficking. There is bipartisan legislation that's moving through Congress right now that's aimed at cracking down on online sex trafficking, and the bills would make it easier to sue internet platforms for enabling sex trafficking on their sites. What do you make of this?
I think it's phenomenal, and I'm very happy to hear that it's bipartisan, because this is a human rights issue. When we first started, we were saying $32 billion a year. Now we're upwards of $150 billion a year that human trafficking is garnering on the backs of women, girls, men, and boys. I do not believe we have the scenario of the money that is being made on the internet. So it is imperative that we have stricter legislation so that individuals that are making money, such as Craigslist, Backpage, and I mean, a lot of information is even found on Facebook, social medias that have these windows of opportunity where sex trafficking can occur. I'm happy to hear that legislation is being stiffer and that legislators are paying attention, because there are many laws that need to be changed so that we can get the predators off the streets, off the internet faster with penalty.
Let's go to Mark now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I've watched this for some time. And one of the things I've seen that seems to be called sex trafficking is women who are too old to trade their bodies for drugs are now trading their daughters' bodies for drugs. To suggest that this is more about sex than it is about a way for women to get drugs, I think you're putting the cart way before the horse. And I couldn't agree more with the last caller who said, this is multiculturalism. And when you try and respond to the police, they just call you a racist. Because this pretty much came to Eau Claire with Mexicans.
Mark, let's get Dana to respond here.
I appreciate the call. Drugs have changed the game significantly, but the bottom line, even though there's the exchange of sex, the bottom line is the almighty dollar. And the pimps are saying, yes, I love you, for the almighty dollar. Willing to trade your body for sex for the almighty dollar. So yes, drugs are indeed have changed the game, because for some, the coercion is the drug. The pimp does not have to beat the person. It's just going from hit to hit, meaning going from the receiving your drugs, working out there for 24 to 48 hours and coming back to get more drugs. So yes, indeed, drugs are changing the game, but the bottom line is the almighty dollar.
Dana World Patterson, Mark touched on another aspect that I want to ask you about, is sex trafficking passed down from generation to the next, a mother passing it down to her child?
Yes, that is very true. When you consider traffickers, they're not just men, they're also women, they're mothers, they're grandmothers, they're grandfathers. They're individuals that see their child or loved one as a commodity to make money. It's unfortunate, but yes, indeed.
Dana, go ahead.
Pardon me. Men lead as traffickers. They lead as pornography watchers. They lead as strip goers. But we have to pay attention to women. And yes, women do sell their children.
Dana World Patterson is with us. She heads up the Foundations for Freedom organization. She's chair of the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee, working on victim advocacy and prevention efforts in human trafficking. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you an anti-human trafficking advocate? What do you want people to understand about this problem? How has this touched your community, your life? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dana, Harry called in to ask, do you have any idea about the rate of sex trafficking in Madison?
The rate, when we consider human, I do not know specifically, other than it's happening in every county. And that individuals in Madison want training They call for training. So we have to have our eyes open. I would just say it's imperative to learn as much as you can learn, because it's happening throughout our entire state. Wisconsin is considered a hub for human trafficking. Milwaukee has the disdain title of being the Harvard of pimp school. So with 94 being just a quick ride from Milwaukee to Madison, you definitely need to have your eyes open.
The report from the Medical College of Wisconsin found a connection between sex trafficking and out-of-home care situations like group homes or foster homes, living with a relative who isn't a parent. 62% of the confirmed trafficking victims from that report were reported missing from out-of-home care. Why is out-of-home care a risk factor for sex trafficking?
It's my understanding that traffickers will encourage girls to run away from home so that they can eventually end up in a group home where they have greater accessibility. There are group homes that are doing their best, but when they run away, they have to be reported missing for a certain amount of time. That's the law. They are mandated reporters. In 2016, 1,400 girls in Milwaukee were reported missing, many of them from group homes. So it is indeed imperative. Those numbers are high, but I would imagine that we need to pay attention all across the board because they're vulnerable. And once the traffickers have coerced them, it's easy for them to slip away or come back and forth. Now, in addition to that, I know of group homes that where the individuals may start out running away, but because they have a safe place, they don't have to concern themselves with the sex, having to sell their bodies to live on the couch, what they call couch surfing, that eventually their behavior changes and they will, not all, of course, but they will begin to change their behavior and find that this is better than living the life of selling their bodies. And what else is the other part that's important is many of these traffickers show up as boyfriends. And because these girls are young, their minds have not developed at a mature state. They're still thinking that they're doing this for their boyfriends, that this they're saving, that they have indeed bought into the life of this is for our family, this is for our survival. They're young, 13 being the average age. So it goes into, we know 11-year-olds and even younger that are selling their bodies. So if you can imagine an older person that is showing them love and concern and maybe giving them different things that they didn't have. And then one day it happens that they say, okay, well, for this, I just want you to go down the street and talk to Mr. Jones, quote unquote. Just, you know, talk to him and whatever he wants, you know, he's going to give you a little something for it. That's just part of the game that's being played. And then these girls and boys, they fall into the trap through this subtle coercion. And because their minds are not developed, they continue the life. Now, some, I am thankful, some have been in the life for from 13 to 19, 14 to 20, and then some get out very quickly, but that's not often.
Let's go to Susan in Columbus. Susan, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say I travel a lot through the state of Wisconsin. Something that I've noticed that's really worried me is I get back late at night, and I'll have to stop at a gas station, which is also a truck stop in many cases. And I notice these young girls coming out of cars and then going into the cabs of these semi-drivers. these truck drivers, and it, obviously there's something going on there when there's young women going back and forth between these, you know, truck drivers' cabs. And I've seen it quite a bit. I've seen it at Stevens Point. I've seen it at by the Lake Wisconsin exit off of I-90. And I've noticed it a lot more in the last couple of years. So that's just something that worries me, that maybe even in these rural areas or, you know, where there's easy access to the highway, that a lot of this is going on.
Susan, thanks. Dana World Patterson, go ahead.
It should be a concern that going to truck stops is definitely a part of the game. They call them lot lizards because they roam from truck to truck. There's even a language of a roll of tissue being in the front window. If there's a roll of tissue there, that means either they've already been serviced or something is going on at that time. You should definitely be concerned. But we have eyes on the ground at truck stops, and it's called Truckers Against Trafficking. They're doing a very good job going to eradicate trafficking at truck stops. And we know that there are thousands of truck stops, so the work is going to continue for a while, but they're making their mark at truck stops. Also, UPS is putting together a plan because they know that they are on the roads all the time. So they're doing work to, well, basically boots on the ground. Some of the local unions that are truck drivers in our community are putting boots on the ground to eradicate human trafficking. So yes, we should be concerned, but people have noticed and they're doing something about it.
Dana, what are some specific things that cities like Milwaukee could do better in fighting and preventing sex trafficking?
Oh, as the trafficker, it goes down. Housing. Housing is number one. When individuals are rescued, it becomes a concern as to where are they going to go. So we need more housing specifically. Two, we need money for small organizations that are interacting with individuals on the street level, also those that come into their organization, so that we can reach more people. So it's more resources and housing. Those are the two. Three, legislation. Organizations coming together, putting their heads together, politicians understanding, judges, when the work that is done to bring a trafficker to justice, we need that judge to understand that they need more than just a few years, or else it's a death sentence for the victim that what they call flipped her pimp or flipped the pimp, meaning that they have basically told enforcement, law enforcement, what they know. They need more time in jail, stiffer penalties right here in Milwaukee, so that we can change the narrative of being the Harvard of pimp school versus being a place where you don't want to be caught.
Dana World Patterson is the head of Foundations for Freedom. She chairs the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee, working on victim advocacy and prevention efforts. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you want people to understand about this problem? If you work in anti-human trafficking, are you seeing things in your community? Let's continue the conversation after this news update here on the Ideas Network. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have said legislation is crucial for cracking down on sex trafficking and have largely dismissed concerns from the internet platforms. The bills change the federal law to hold websites criminally responsible if they assist or facilitate sex trafficking. We're having the discussion around sex trafficking with an advocate working on this in Milwaukee. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new report attempts to make an accurate assessment of the number of victims in Milwaukee in a four-year period. They came up with 340, with 97% of that group as female. Dana World Patterson directs the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in law enforcement or at a hospital or in a group home? What's your experience working with victims of sex trafficking? Are you a survivor? How has your life changed? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Dana, explain the role of police in this, because oftentimes in sex trafficking, these victims will have interactions with police. How does that go?
It goes both ways if we want to have an honest conversation. Law enforcement has proven to be our friends, and as we continue to eradicate human trafficking, we need police officers, good police officers, that are concerned about the human rights of individuals that are trafficked. And there's also a level of fear, because there's some law enforcement that also ask for services for individuals who are trafficked. So it goes both ways, but we definitely need law enforcement to be on our side, because once they're rescued, or if they see activity, if there's a particular beat or brothels within our community, escort services, we need law enforcement to not then add insult to injury, but to bring that person to a place where they can receive help. And they're a part of the task force. We do have law enforcement that keep us up to date so that we know what's going on throughout our city. And they come and they educate us about what's happening from their view. So we definitely need law enforcement to keep an eye out and do great work.
Let's go to Troy now in Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I just wanted to say that I felt like the last two callers that called in were completely ignorant about, this being because of globalism or because of multiculturalism. Basically, what they're saying that this is because of minorities. And I just find that so insulting. I think that you need to take into consideration the fact that if these things are happening out in the suburbs as well, and they're happening in predominantly white communities, it's because there's a demand. And probably the majority of clients that are participating and in this activity are Caucasians, or the clients are Caucasians. So I just really want to make sure that we're clearing up that, you know, we're not going with the nationalism and the white supremacist ideology, which is that this is a minorities issue and that, you know, this is coming with minorities.
Troy, thank you for the call. Dana, how would you respond?
I appreciate him getting just right to the point, because victims of human trafficking include men, women, and children of every age, race, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, ethnicity, nationality, religion. No one should be left out, and there definitely is not one that's preferred over the other. And it's true, white men with a certain level of means drive the demand. But you'll find that every ethnicity, they're a part of the demand. So I don't want to point the finger at white wealthy men, but yes, it's true.
Is relapse a problem, Dana? Once a victim gets services, once she gets help, do you see relapse as an issue?
Yes. It is important to stay with the survivor or the victim of human trafficking through the long haul, because there's a mindset that has to take place. And sometimes they go back out because they've been conditioned to make money with their body. And if they have been lured and groomed since they were children, and they've been told that they're just a prostitute, or all they can do is make money with their body, and some really horrible words, if that's all they've been told and that's what they've been conditioned to think about, when the rubber meets the road, I've been told thousands of times, I know how I can make some money. I know how I can get the car. I know how I can, you know, eat. I know how I can survive. And then there's that lure back to that way of living. But we just stay with them. There's no judgment. And when they come back, or if they're honest, and we just work with them to continue to move forward. Continue to move forward, because you're not a prostitute, because you're not a whore, because, you know, and we just begin to condition the mind and give them other options. So it's very, if you say, okay, don't sell your body, but then the best that we can give them is minimum wage, it doesn't, you know, they don't
see the other options
very long.
Right. Let's go to John now in Boaz. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. It seems to me that this is a situation where it shows the degradation of our society. I would like to give everyone some words of hope. My father was a police officer. He came from the Rothschilds of Rhineland, Germany, a very good man. He was a school teacher. Well, on the other side, my mother sexually abused me. I was an infant. I don't know the word for it, but some women fantasize. What happened to her is she lost the family connection, and her mother went back to the bar, put her in an orphanage. Now, my father never left her, but he set a good example, and that's what I'm saying. Please keep your connection. Don't abandon your children.
Jonathan,
I feel these victims were abandoned at some point of their life.
So John's seeing that family and family connections very important to deter this. Dana?
I agree. Not everyone has not been abandoned. Remember, the thread is vulnerability. Some individuals come from zip codes that are very wealthy. The mother and the father in the home, they're making six figures. Others where they probably are eating flour and water. But I do agree. And when we consider the LGBT community, those who have run away, homelessness, it is very important to have a family connection. And even when the young people, if we speak about young people and old, to know that the bridge is not burned and they can come back home, they have greater success in the long run because they know that they're loved. But individuals where the doors have been closed and they say, don't come back, and they feel as if there's no hope, they stay out longer.
Dana,
go ahead.
I want to turn the conversation here for a moment and look at what the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee sees as some things that are really working in Milwaukee and communities around Wisconsin. Because if communities around Wisconsin want to take a first step or perhaps try a new program, what would you suggest?
What's really working is education and awareness. Prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. So going into the schools and churches and community organizations and talking to young people about the plight of human trafficking and the endeavor of having high self-esteem and knowing your value, things like that, having those conversations, we know is working. Secondly, legislation. Our politicians understanding the plight of trafficking so that there are stronger penalties. Also, the boots on the ground, where advocates and survivor leaders are working to connect with other survivors, and the advocates understanding the mindset and the plight of the victims, going in and touching them and being a genuine, legitimate resource for these individuals, we know is working, because we see individuals that have come from brothels, come from the streets, come from rescues that are hanging in there, maybe with some setbacks, but hanging in there, are really beginning to live a life of thriving.
Do you see Milwaukee being set on a new course? Are things changing in Milwaukee?
I have to say, yes, it's been 10 years. When we first started beating the drum, there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. We were going wherever we could, beating the drum, saying, not in our neighborhood, not in yours. Not in our neighborhood, not in yours. And now there are hundreds of organizations across the state and literally many, many organizations in Milwaukee that are doing very good work. And we have universities paying attention, the hospitals paying attention, law enforcement, task forces that are growing throughout our state and even within Milwaukee. So people are paying attention and galvanizing and really using best practices so that we can eradicate human trafficking in our neighborhoods.
Well, Dana, thank you so much for joining us and helping us become more aware of this issue.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Dana Wuerl-Patterson is chair of the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee. She's founder and CEO of Foundations for Freedom. That's an anti-human trafficking organization that is based in Milwaukee. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Niaja Ellison. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.